Shalom, Mishpokah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our Bible teacher and my lovely wife, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, dear. Well, only 3 days to the inauguration, and a lot is happening. So before we get into what's been going on, let's ask for God's blessing.
Yeah, Obama's taking a shot. Well, Abba, Father, we continue to give you alone the highest praise and honor. You are El Shaddai, our God Almighty, and we truly acknowledge our total need of you in all areas of our lives. We lift up all our listeners' prayer requests, and may tonight's program bring glory unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, last week we talked on what the Obama administration had done to Israel by allowing Resolution 2334 to pass through the UN Security Council of 14 nations. Then, last Sunday, to further discuss that resolution, there was another meeting, this time in Paris, of 70 nations, which, biblically, in Jewish thought, is a complete number and therefore technically represents all the nations of the world.
Yes, it could have just as easily been 69 or 71.
I know, right? So, no coincidence there. And before continuing, we should further address that. And I think you should read Isaiah 43, just the first part of verse 9. And that comes right after, by the way, of Isaiah's prophecies about their returning to the land.
Okay, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw this at the UN Sunday, where 70 nations, which, as we just said, in the word means complete, and they were all assembled. Then, still in Isaiah, God asks, who else could declare the future like him? And goes on to remind them of their own idolatries, but still, he ends up promising to them a blessing later in the millennial kingdom. So, I reminded you of that because no matter what the UN does, eventually Israel, after their correction, as he states in Jeremiah 30:11, all the nations will come to ruin who stood against his people.
Yeah, and now that for sure includes the United States.
Which comes during the Jacob's trouble that Christians call the tribulation of Daniel's 70th week.
Could be this year.
Could be. Most will depend on the negotiations that the UN has now mandated for Israel and the Palestinians to begin. So they got to do it. And Netanyahu at this point, well, he loves Trump. So most believe he'll love his Jewish son-in-law, Jared, as well, who has now agreed to mediate. A deal, I think, would be fair to both sides. So it just might happen.
Yeah, it just might. Okay, exactly what did happen at this infamous conference of 70 nations in Paris?
Well, they unanimously called for the creation of a Palestinian state and thereby confirmed resolution number 2334.
Yeah, no surprise there.
And they also bought into John Kerry's six principle declaration plan. Remember, he gave that a few days after the 2334 was passed, which everyone could witness, and they did on national TV. And I watched it and was really pretty appalled over it.
Was there any good news?
Well, if you want to call it that, actually, yes. You know, Sunday's conference did not immediately recognize the Palestinian state. Nor does it appear that any additional action will be taken before Donald Trump is inaugurated this Friday. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, that's which is what many were very concerned over.
Yes, we even talked about it last time. So we were all pretty concerned. But they also all agreed that Israel and Palestinians must prepare to negotiate, and very quickly. And as I just said, Donald Trump's Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, will lead the negotiations. And, of course, to some of us, this is pretty bittersweet because those who know end-time prophecy we're really kind of excited to see it because we know it's going to happen anyway. But on the day they sign this agreement, and if it is the one that Daniel 9:27 says will happen, the bride will have already just left.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. So actually, Sunday wasn't too terribly bad for Israel.
Right. As we said, for it had been feared that the UN would attempt to immediately impose some sort of permanent solution on the Israelis, but that didn't come to pass. Instead, the conference participants agreed to work toward a negotiated solution with two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security.
Yeah, their words, not ours.
Right. Maybe it would be time to read 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
Okay, for when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Now, some Bibles actually use the word security because safety and security is the same Greek word, number 803 in your Strong's.
And the labor pains expression always refers to the tribulation or Jacob's trouble.
That's right. It's an idiom throughout the Bible.
And they shall not escape, but we will.
Yes. Jesus' words in Luke 21.
And what about moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem?
Well, I doubt if that will happen because it will cause an intifada, unless it's a Psalm 83 fulfillment. But Trump is being heavily advised not to. However, if Jerusalem, and this is important, if Jerusalem were made an international capital for all, then we could move our embassy. And as long as Israel has a piece of Jerusalem after its division, then they will probably go along with that. And we know Jerusalem will be divided, for we read those scriptures last week.
And that program is up on our web.
That's right. But I do believe Israel will get a piece of it, because we also know that they're going to be allowed to build the third temple that Revelation 11 says they will do. So the Antichrist can eventually sit in it, declaring himself God.
So Satan wants his temple built as well.
Hard to believe, yeah, but that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants it really bad. So the Antichrist will play a big role in the final negotiations. Speaking of which, Palestinian Abbas was recently in Rome, again, meeting with the Pope, and in fact opened up their new embassy right in Vatican City.
And didn't Pope Francis officially recognize Palestine as being its own state last year?
Yeah, he did. And the Muslims will, I know, will join the one world religion. After all, Rome actually created them centuries ago.
Yeah, I remember the picture of Pope Benedict kissing the Quran.
I know. It kind of sticks with you, don't it?
It does. Any last news?
Yes. More emails have surfaced of how the Clinton campaign paid high amounts of money to the treasonous rhinos. Do you know what that means?
Republicans in name only.
Right. To come out against Trump, even after he won the nomination, which they did. And five were definitely named in these emails. And I'm going to tell you who they are, as if you didn't already know. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorino, and our own John Kasich. While still others were not named but implied, like Paul Ryan, and even now could be working undercover, Rance Priebus. And isn't it striking that both McCain and Graham are pushing the fact that Russia influenced the election, actually willing to go to war with Russia, because that is the globalist agenda, and believe me, they are of that camp. Now, the Clinton campaign also promised, according to these emails, promised Lindsey Graham, if he stuck it out against Trump, there would be no tough Democrat to oppose him in his next re-election to the Senate of South Carolina.
He'd be a shoo-in. And, you know, such corruption as Isaiah 5 said there would be.
Oh, yes. It's here, church. Believe me, there is a planned vendetta to destroy the Republican Party, and the leaders of this vendetta will be working behind the scenes, as in the Obamas, George Soros, and the Clintons, especially now since it appears they will have to shut down their money machine called the Clinton Foundation. And by the way, you can read all of this on the conservativedailypost.com. Okay, we want to change gears now and look at some scriptures that need to be reevaluated correctly. But first, I think, honey, would you tell our listeners where they can send their prayer requests and their end-time questions?
Yes. And you can send your end-time questions by mail to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message of your question 2-440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates or biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
That's right. A lot of learning on there, too.
Yes, there is.
Okay, let's now look at a few scriptures that some false teachers are using to burden the church. And as I say so often, because it's part of my calling, you really need to look up the true meaning of the scriptures that teachers use when it especially infers work on your part to keep your salvation.
Like those they used to make you feel inadequate or undeserving to even go in the rapture.
Exactly. You are either saved or you are not.
Correct.
And nothing beyond that is necessary, because a true heart salvation, which would include major time spent in his word, will shed the practicing of certain sin natures that God abhors. So let's talk to you tonight, you true believers. You are being strapped with the idea that you're just not good enough. And at times you even question your salvation, which also means you wonder if you will go in the rapture thinking you just don't qualify. And then, to add to your doubts, you might listen to some well-known teachers confirming that deception by misinterpreting the word is happening. We must address that through the hermeneutical truth of God's word.
Okay, what's the first scripture we want to look at?
Well, this one I have spoken of often, but it needs to be repeated, and that's the one in Luke 21 that we referred to earlier. Could you read verse 36?
Be watchful and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
That's the original Greek, but some versions add the word always, as in praying always, which immediately makes one think it has to be ongoing, when always is not in the original. And in fact, you only pray once, and it's the time of your rebirth, and that means you will escape. Oh, sure, it's a pleading prayer at the time, but not an ongoing one. If you are saved, you will escape the wrath of God, as so many other scriptures declared. They do declare as well.
Yep. Even by the skin of your teeth.
Go ahead.
And all those are listed on our webpage, of course.
That's what I was going to say.
Another one.
Okay,
for sure.
Have you heard of the scripture that says, "Be holy, for I am holy"?
Yes, that's a rough one for sure. Mm-hmm. How can anyone be as holy as God?
Right, you can't. In fact, that scripture isn't in the New Testament except for once when Peter is actually quoting from the Old Testament.
And Leviticus, I think.
Yeah. Maybe you could read.
I will. Leviticus 11:44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy.
Okay, now listen carefully. The word be is an effect of knowing God, not a work. For even in the Old Testament, you were not sanctified by works, but from faith. The works were to recognize their need for a Savior. Anyhow, the original says you are holy because I am holy. In other words, they became holy when turning to righteousness and faith, as Hebrew tells us. And especially in the new covenant where Jesus lives inside of us, of course, as Peter infers, we should try to live holy lives, but we can never be as holy as Jesus. That would be sinless, and we surely are not that.
Yeah, I mean, we're all sinners. I mean, we try not to, but, you know, we try to be holy.
That's right.
You know, and that's not going to happen until we get our new bodies.
That's right. We will not be sinless till we get our new bodies.
Correct. Amen
to that. So, when Peter says, be holy for I am holy, he is actually quoting Leviticus, and the translation should be as I just said, but just to make it more clear, let me read to you what the Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest says about 1 Peter 1:16. I quote, the verb is in the perfect tense in the Greek, which speaks of a past completed action having present results. In other words, we are holy because he is holy. And that, my friends, brings an ease of conscience. And as Paul infers in Galatians, that doesn't give us a license to be unholy, but rather a satisfaction of trying and a deeper realization of the mercy of God, which is amazing. And knowing of his unending mercy gives us even more of a passion to please him. Okay, one more thing for tonight is that there has been a well-known teacher who is teaching that there are qualifications besides salvation to go in the rapture. And he justifies that by using the quality spoken of by Jesus to the churches in Revelations 2 and 3. Each letter, Jesus does end, and that we must be an overcomer. But this particular teacher is claiming that the qualities listed in each of the letters is how the bride can be an overcomer in order to go in the rapture. This is blatantly false teaching, and in my mind is actually adding qualifications to be saved. It is a total distortion of God's word and burdens the body of Christ to be more than they are able, and thereby experiencing feelings of condemnation when God says in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Zero, none, nada. There are false teachers teaching that not all Christians will go in the rapture, which Bible is clear to me is a pre-trib. So without meeting certain qualifications listed in the seven church letters, which are not qualifications, but rather their qualities, would mean that you could not go in the rapture unless you meet them. That's wrong. And this particular teacher that I recently saw on video has a chart and lists them as to how to be an overcomer. And that we must be victorious, a profitable servant, be ready, be watching, and praying with spotless garments. But he never uses the Bible's interpretation of an overcomer, just his own. Scriptures interpret scripture, and its interpretation of an overcomer is in 1 John 5:4-5, and I'll read it for you. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's it, 1 John 5:4-5. Don't forget that one. Again, saints, in God's eyes, we are all these things because of his Son, like we are holy. because we are saved. And we are spotless and blameless and victorious because we are saved. But again, let's look at Scripture for interpretation. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Hello? Stop adding conditions to your salvation or going in the rapture, for there are none. If you are a true believer, that's it. And all you do after that is for your rewards in heaven when we get there. You know, we even have scripture on being victorious in 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's all Jesus. So stand up and use the power given to his bride. So in closing, we are ready and praying, and most of us are watching, but that is still not a requirement for the rapture, only one's salvation. Please, saints, don't take on the burdens of having to make yourself worthy, because you'll never make it in your flesh. Besides, we are worthy because he is worthy. Again, Jesus spoke to each of the churches in love and told them their good qualities first, and then also their not so good qualities, but ended each letter with "just be an overcomer," and "you are and will drink from the tree of life." And he even made sure that his word gave us the proper definition of what an overcomer is. Any believer, as we read in 1 John 5. Isn't that wonderful? So, let me just tell you, if you're not saved, you really need to get saved. Oh, precious one, right now, if you are listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, know that he suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your debt for your sins. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and is knocking." If you are hearing his voice, he says, "Open the door. I will come into you and will dine with you and you with me." I know you hear his voice as he's knocking right now, but he won't crash in. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this magnificent true love story written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. Just do it. What are you waiting for? Time is running out. This could be the year when we hear that trumpet sound, that beautiful trumpet sound that sounds much better than the one of my opening program. And I believe that we'll all be called up to be with him forever. We will receive his rewards. We will get married. And then we will have a honeymoon that lasts 7 years. And then we'll come back down here on earth and help run the millennial kingdom. I can't hardly wait. I sure hope you can't. We're surely getting close. And now I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav v'leka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav v'leka v'yisem l'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our new president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. And of course, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Jesus is coming, and he's the only one that can bring that peace to Jerusalem. See you next week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.